Hello, and welcome to the third ever Dunsparce and Drampa Talkback. We're doing episode 3. It's called The Mining, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. As of right now, it's just me, DM Rich. We'll see if other folks join the call. Either way, I'm happy to provide talkback and commentary for this. And we haven't done it in a while. We've been busy getting ready for the end of the campaign itself. So, and by we, I mean I've been doing a lot of prep. So we haven't done this in a while, so I don't know if the volume's at a good point. I think I'm going to turn it down a little bit, but that is to say, I think y'all should be watching instead of listening to this anyway, even though the captions are auto-generated and they don't do perfect. They do help a lot because we're going to be talking over it, and it's hard to listen to two things at once. That being said, it's just me, so there might be less talking happening, but we'll see if anyone joins. But for now, let's just let past me narrate for a bit.
The sky is gradually tinting orange as the sun begins its descent down the horizon. Locals and travelers are scooting about, wrapping up their errands and checking in with friends and family. So as you arrived, or I suppose as you're exiting the Pokemon Center, Sam kind of gestures. She's like, well, we got some time on our hands.
Kind of gestures is a classic Rich moment.
Which is directly pretty much south from where you are. There's a large...
A funny stat about this episode. Obviously, the most listened to episode is episode 1. That's just without a doubt. Which makes sense. That's how you'd want it to be. You'd think episode 2 is the second most, but it's actually this one. It's actually the third one. That is the second most listened to, and I don't really know why. The best guess I have is because the title is stupid. It's like so goofy that people have to listen to it. Where the second one is Fast Friends. The idea with that was, one, they became friends with Sam pretty quickly, but two, Sneasel is like a notoriously fast Pokemon, or at least it was when I was young, so I wanted to name the episode that. This one I named that because it just felt too good to be true that this episode featured a Minun, a witch, and a wardrobe in the sense that the Paco went clothing shopping, so pretty funny.
Ooh, where are we?
Over to the southeast corner
of
town.
It's welcome. We're listening to the start of episode 3. This is just the exposition. You haven't missed anything like at all.
Sam says, if you want
wonderful.
Some shopping, now's a great time. Pick up
I was just discussing the fact that you know, episode 1 is the most listened to episode, which makes sense, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But episode 2 is not the second most listened to. Episode 3 is. And I was explaining that the only lead I have on for why that might be is because how dumb the title is. But I don't know if you have any theories about that.
Maybe. I don't know. That is a weird number. You figured it would, like, cascade off, but...
Yeah. No, there's a dip on episode 2, and then it jumps back in episode 3. It's like, huh? It's a study organization. I don't know. Maybe there'll be some insight. All over Hoenn.
They tend to study Pokemon and their techniques. And
I think this is the exposition to the Rite of Learning happening, which was lifted straight from Boarding Party and their game that takes place in the Laris region. It's all homebrewed stuff. Props to Drew, the DM, for all that work. Not something I wanted to do going into this, just I didn't feel like I had the time. But that's super cool when you can pull that off. And yeah, I looked at a lot of stuff, especially early from Boarding Party. And so I thought the idea of an institution where, like, there are researchers that are dedicated to, like, making Pokemon stronger and cooler was just, I don't know, it was just a cool idea. Felt easy to implement and an easy way to, like, schedule, like, non-level up bonuses into the map, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's the big ticket with, like, some of these, especially, like, Pokemon-oriented RPG-style stuff like this. It's really difficult to, like, feel like you can draw power into your character because your character is so, like, intrinsically powered by other things that it, like, makes it a lot more difficult unless you have these, like, systems, like, these little checkpoints, like the Rite of Learning to, like, help us bolster and catch things up because, like, I don't know. People have played the regular Pokemon games, and you can definitely feel, like, so, I mean, everyone's first playthrough usually is like, my starter is way overpowered and everything falls behind. And it's like, it's so easy for even in this system to have that, like, happen within your party itself. And that's kind of obnoxious.
Yeah.
But that was a good solution to the problem.
Yeah, I think it worked out. I think Drew knew what he was doing. And I think it really elegantly transferred over to our game as well. Something to consider with combining Pokemon TTRPGs is that... defeated Pokemon don't drop loot, right? In fact, they drop experience, which we're using milestones for, so they effectively do nothing. So you have to really plan rewards for the players that are not intrinsic to the battles that they've won.
Now that the Schmidt pack has been established, Schmidt's like,
This is our theme. Yeah, like there's like limited amount of loot like that we could get like held items and stuff, which was kind of cool, but like definitely was very limited in terms of like keeping it true to Pokemon at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't just like strap your Pokemon with like gear and you're like, yeah, let's go. Like it's like that, you get one thing at a time. Like
right.
The Fort Cruz City Postal Service. Big glass doors slide.
Oh, they're at the Postal Service first. Right. I forgot that some letters got sent out.
There's just birds.
This postal service was one of the earliest planted seeds for foreshadowing, which didn't get picked up until episode 60 or 70 or so, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the, not this episode itself, but the letter that Gimli got back was from Gemma was coded.
Yeah, it was coded. And it was like, what?
It was like, basically like, help me. And, you know, it's not like I led any hints to that or anything, but I thought there was a chance that maybe Gimli would look at it and be like, something's not right here. So kind of funny. Kind of funny. It wasn't a required thing to pick up on, but it's a fun thing that sends all.
No, I will say early, I'm like, this reads as like a coded thing, but I was like, my character's too dumb that he wouldn't even pick up on this at all.
Fair enough.
Until it was like pointed out to him, like he hands it to his son. He's like, this seems really off, and it's like, oh really? Like oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Pretty simple guy, so my wife wouldn't be surprised if I something. Oh, like, we got the glizzy. What's up, Grace?
Like glizzy entrance.
Gamers.
Oh, and squids. Hello.
Yeah.
I did already start. So we're live.
It's all good.
But,
we're so live.
We're not that far in. I might as well pose the question to the two of you as well. We have talked about this briefly before, but the most listened to episode of the podcast is episode one. The second most is not episode two, it's episode three, which is this one. Do you have any theories on why that is?
There's a little sign below that has a listing.
I don't know in particular. I think the thumbnail is kind of a banger.
How fast the service is.
Oh, the mine
thumbnail title combo. Oh, the mine of the witch and the wardrobe.
Yeah. That's my theory.
I don't know why I get. Like, if you get them like recommended to you, like episodes, it's always recommending episode one, then episode three.
Weird.
Like every time I see it on my Spotify, it's like those two episodes.
It might even be the autoplay on YouTube or something. Might be one or three.
YouTube just doesn't know how to count.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm wondering about re-listens and stuff too, like how that.
Oh yeah. Does this one have like some lore bits in it that people come back to?
They re-listen to, which then bumps it up, which then increases the recommended from like one to then three instead of two.
Yeah.
I'll be that. I don't know. Could be a lot of factors.
Yeah.
Huh. Hello.
Hello.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, let's just.
So we're at the post office. I think we talked about going to the Rite of Learning, but we decided to do the post office first. I wasn't even sure how to really like handle this with you guys. I just kind of let it rip. I was like, we'll see what happens with these letters.
I know you wanted to see if you could somehow call your mother.
I think it worked out pretty interestingly.
Send anything or any could be a character we haven't met yet, even if you want to. Write a letter to someone, or just hold off.
Just hold off for now.
Cool. Are you doing anything while your new friends are writing their letters? Are you just kind of looking around? Are you
also let it be known that this is still the Schmidt Pack. The Quacko Paco has not been established yet.
The Schmidt Pack.
That's so funny that we were the Schmidt Pack for a while.
Yeah. I don't know how long. It might even be this episode that it gets overhauled, but we did open up where it was the Schmidt Pack.
Creative
so.
Genius, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. So all of you write your letters. You see
quick team name turnaround
kind of stuff, except
yeah, Sandy. Yeah. I think the decentralization of power in the name. Single, like, I guess it's not even decentralization, it's just assigned from the non-human from the human to the non-human. Yeah. I think that was more favorable for everyone.
For Gimli, it says 12 Pokédollars.
There's a world where it could have just been the 12 Pokédollars. Absolutely. The Schmidt Pack the whole time. Could you imagine?
12 Pokédollars. Be sure to mark it off the sheet. And Murkrow drops into the slot, and for some reason, the slot just like knows what region it's destined to, and there's like 8 different paths on the chute where the mail slides down.
You know, I think this post office idea is also something that I stole from Boarding Party. Not like post offices are exclusive to Boarding Party, but one of the trainers is like his goal is to like be the best mailman. So I think there was a lot of post office type stuff going on. And so that was probably fresh in my mind when we did this episode. I was like, I have to make sure there's a post office so they can send messages.
Murkrow drops your letter in the chute, it goes into a section that is populated by little redbirds and a couple medium-sized redbirds and a big redbird. You recognize this to be the Talonflame line. It is picked up.
I think you're a little too loose with the word stealing. It's like it's inspired. Like you don't have to take it like directly from
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, maybe.
Like, you do make it your own ideas after a minute. With it. Like even with like, oh, this concept is like inspired by somebody else. But
that's true. I think what I'm trying to get at is more what I hope is just a sentiment in the TTRPG community in general, which is just using stealing just brazenly to, as a way to like encourage it, because I feel like too many new DMs are like, oh, I have to do like my whole new thing that is totally original and unique to my brain. And I think experienced DMs will say, dude, just like if you like something from D20, just like do it. Matt Mercer like blew your brain, just do that, you know, like that's really encouraged. So I think that might be what I'm getting at with my vocabulary choice there.
Maybe, not unfair. I just think like the word stealing can also be like take the connotation of like it's and that it's a bad thing technically to do it. You're like, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's probably good to clarify. Some people might not understand that is what is meant.
Yeah, you're free to like. I mean, like as a teacher of engineering, I try to encourage people all the time to like take ideas that already exist and apply them to the thing that you're doing it for, because the idea already exists. Like, why are you trying to like reinvent the wheel?
Right.
Like, if like someone came up with a cool concept and it fits what you're trying to do, then like make use of it. Like, you should. And this is like,
especially with TTRPGs, like your players probably don't know, and if they do, they'll be like, oh, it's that thing from that thing. That's cool. You know. So like, worst case scenario,
it's cool
is
that we
not
fit it
bad
in
at
ours.
All.
Yeah.
And he seems to be very happy. And as he's walking, he's like punching the air and his little.
Oh, is this Vince again? Like, yeah.
Man, they're just cheering.
I didn't really. I forgot that he showed up again.
So you didn't even say hi. He was a pretty important character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna look away. For
sure. One of the more established NPCs for sure at the beginning.
Roll to perceive me.
Yeah, he just doesn't even notice. He doesn't even care about you guys. Like, who knows if he even recognized you from before? He's just power, success, onwards, and he's just mobbing. He seems like he's just walking like straight.
Power, success,
building, which is funny because you have to step down a ladder to get to this building. Because all the walkways are elevated in the treetops, and he's just like walking under the walkways, like into the jungle. Like, who knows where this guy's going? You all enter the Fortress City gym. There's a gem.
Where was he going? Truly,
it's a mystery.
Sort of uniform that looks kind of
seeking more power,
kind of formal. You assume it's kind of like the Hoenn looking uniform for gym personnel. And he waves over to you all. He says, we're closed for the day. We had our last entrance just now. Can I help you?
We would like to get registered for the gym challenge.
He looks at all of you and says, oh, sure, yeah, I can get you registered now. We're just not going to take any more challengers until tomorrow. Who wants to come up first?
I'll do it.
Great.
I will.
Okay.
As the leader.
As the leader.
Hell yeah.
As the leader.
Says, very well.
I can imagine it happens exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
oh, this is my role for our photos.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't remember doing that. That's so funny. You're
right.
Because I remember Elodie's is like, what, nat 20 or something? She's
yeah.
Like, yeah. Head over the shoulder, like, post.
I'm Schmidt, the leader of the pack.
And you see him, like, typing away at some sort of keyboard that seems to be projected onto the table that he's standing at. And he says, okay, what region are you from?
Oh, shit. What region am I from? Johto.
Hell yeah.
He says, all right, Schmidt, get ready.
I forget?
Where am I from?
Okay, great. Out of nowhere, there's a big old flash.
Something that's fun about the Pokemon world is, you know, we just spent time at the post office to send messages, yet this guy has like a hologram keyboard, you know?
A little,
funny juxtapositions you get from this world.
Credentials on it. Comes, he slides it in.
Tech, but where we want it. You know?
Yeah,
we don't want to put hoots out of business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they care about the labor.
Padding, hands it to you, and he says, "Welcome to Hoenn. Good luck on your challenge." He repeats this process with each of you for the sake of brevity. Now that you know that photos are coming.
Yeah, I did do this. That's funny.
Can I roll to see how good or bad mine comes out?
I might have actually just had you do that anyways, depending. So absolutely, just roll me a d20, and we'll see what happens.
I'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
We got a 16.
Yeah, it's a pretty good picture. You aren't smiling with your mouth open, but you got a nice little corner smile there, and your hair looks really good. So
yeah, I brush my beard a bit and get an 18.
Okay, yeah, excellent. A great photo. Your beard looks.
We all rolled pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Model posing.
I guess I didn't have Schmidt roll because I forgot. That sucks.
You going for a fancy like a very dramatic pose, Elodie?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay, do you want to roll that? I'll give you your performance bonus since you're so dramatic.
Did it get cut, maybe?
Maybe. Well, also, like, Melissa brought it up. She's like, can I roll? So I think I might just...
Maybe.
I might just deprived you the opportunity.
Awesome. You do a very dramatic pose. Do you want to describe what that pose is?
Probably, like, looking, you know, backwards over the shoulder kind of moment.
Oh, like, almost candid.
Yeah. Like, it looks like it's supposed to be candid. But, like, she definitely, like, knew what she was doing.
Excellent. Yeah, it looks great. Even the guy taking the picture is like, oh, wow. That's pretty impressive. Everyone gets their photos taken. They all.
Could you imagine if you're at the DMV and someone said that to you? They're like, oh, great photo. Inventory. And it's got your
crazy. See, they tell me, stop smiling.
Really? That's so sad.
Like, that's just my face. You're not allowed to, I mean, at least in New Jersey, you're not allowed to smile in your photo.
That's crazy.
I always smile, but they never tell me not to. I don't think you're supposed to.
I don't smile just because I'm depressed.
A neutral license for the Hoenn region, and you have a case. I do like the neutral, like, little bit of it, like, lips turned up in the corner, but it's not like a smile. It's like as neutral as I can get.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the no, I'm full cheesing.
So you're pretty, you're in a great place to go wherever you
all want. All cheddared up.
See the witch.
Yeah, I was gonna say, unless somebody wants to go get supplies, I'm good with just going to see the witch.
Nope. No,
you stay and get supplies, and we'll go see.
The witch. Is this the start of Schmidt superstition?
A hotel room.
This wasn't even.
Use my
we're electing a new leader.
This is something I just decided in the moment that I'm like.
We're electing a new leader.
It's pretty.
Doesn't like witches.
Yeah, it's pretty formative. I feel like he has similar moments in the future where it's there's something spooky and he's like, nope. You know, I think it works.
Leader and put it to absolute.
No, no way.
We already won the vote.
But you forgot to account for my 3/4 vote. Like, all of you collectively have 1/16 vote.
So that's so fucked.
That's how it works in a democracy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No.
That is kind of true, though.
No.
I do it in Johto.
Yeah, I don't know how democracy works in Johto, but So we're gonna go.
Johto's probably not democratic, honestly. It's so traditional. I just can't imagine.
Yeah,
maybe it is.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think they're like autocratic, but I think it's a little bit more of a kind of conservative, traditional form of government. I'm not a poli sci enough guy to make that assertion, but that's my vibe check.
Here in the Hoenn region, I've noticed that all the Pokemon centers seem to have trainer hostels where you can stay for free. However, if you want to get something a little bit more luxury, a little more comfortable without a bunch of other trainers, then there's absolutely a hotel down in the commercial district.
Free is good. All right, I've procured a hotel room where we will be staying.
Amazing. Great job. Fearless
in
leader.
The Pokemon Center.
Fearless leader.
Great with all the other homeless people, since Schmidt seems to love them so much.
Sam's kind of like, well, you didn't do anything, but okay, that's fine.
just pat him on the back, he needs it.
What's the Sailor Moon quote?
Okay, so we're gonna send
the Tuxedo Man.
But you didn't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah, Tuxedo Mask, that's his name. Yeah.
What is your plan? What do you want to do? Because you don't have to join them, but you do have to have a plan of some sort.
No, I think the gang needs to stay together.
Okay.
He is like
behind. It's like,
I'll
protect you.
He's like lumbering along in the
echoing
back.
Is crazy.
Yeah, you guys are in the same room. Yeah, crazy.
Were we still in the same room at that point?
Yeah.
Great. You
as a leader.
It's only episode 3, so.
All entered the residential
area. We're not like deep really in. This is only like a couple weeks in. We definitely played quite a few sessions in the same room.
One of the highest points that isn't a mountain that's in the Hoenn region.
Because I do remember moving to like the bedroom or like other places pretty early.
This walkway that started as a narrow path that's kind of expanded to like a street almost of wooden planks that lead to houses. There's one house that stands out among the rest, and you understand that this is what they call the witch. This is her house, as you understand. You all walk up. What do you do?
I mean, there's a door, right?
Knock politely.
Cindy's gonna knock.
Yeah.
Okay.
I immediately take up a defensive position in the rear.
Cindy goes and knocks on the door. You hear
sound effects.
What sounds like a dish being set down, and then the door creaks open very slightly. It's hard to make out a figure as they're just kind of peeking through the door, and you hear a voice say, "Who is it?"
some people you don't know.
Yeah, this is a pretty central JRPG.
Some people you don't know.
Yeah, like that's just a pretty classic, classic Pokemon, at least early Pokemon vibe, is that you just go to people's homes. You know, you just do it. So I think that's cool that we
have. Yeah, we're just walking in. Like, all right.
Pretty fun.
What berry farm are your parents of?
Of course, Cindy knows the name of the berry farm.
Sure. Yeah, you know that they call themselves the Berry Masters, which is like a little, you know, it's a little overconfident, but it's kind of true. You can see some narrow old eyes widen very slightly, and she says, "Oh my goodness, I love having visitors. Please come in, come in." And the door swings open. Before you, you see an old woman. She's hunched over. She's in a house gown. It looks very comfortable. She's very wrinkly. Her face is that like pleasant old lady face that's all wrinkly, and it's kind of in a permanent smile, and her eyes are kind of wrinkled shut, but you can tell that she's a very smiley individual. She has really long hair, really long white hair that's kept back in a loose ponytail, and there's some color at the very end of it, just a little bit of red. She beckons you in. Do you all enter?
Yeah.
Great. So we all
even I have Quacko with me, and I'm like, "Quacko, draw your sword," and then Quacko pulls out his leaf.
Excellent. I'm gonna take it that it's canon.
Is that the first time I called it a sword?
It might have been, yeah. Sword.
Oh, you just commented on it.
Okay.
You all entered what's a pretty.
I like how
house, a pretty modest dwelling.
Like somehow so many things have changed, and also like nothing has changed.
Yeah, yeah, that's really sweet, isn't it?
That's so true.
We're having the same reactions to things to what is presumably in the listen back that we had in the call.
That's true.
Yeah, it's awesome.
There's a coffee table and a cabinet with a whole bunch of items on it. There's some candles on the top. And then to your right, there's a bookshelf. She says, "Please come in, have a seat. I love having guests." And you can see that she is boiling some water. So
what are you making?
She says, "Oh, of course. Whenever I have guests, I make tea. Would all of you like some tea?"
I'd love some.
Of course.
How did she know she was going to have guests?
Didn't she just
put the kettle on?
She just put the kettle on.
She's been making tea for herself.
Sus. The immediate sus. I love it.
I mean, Schmidt was kind of right to be sus. I mean, she was nice, but there was something amiss, no? Something's not right.
But I don't know if it was the tea.
No, it's not the tea.
No. It was definitely just like, we're trying to progress the moment, and it's like, oh, the tea gets to a boil. It's like, how did she do that so fast? It's like,
yeah.
The passage of time is not real in this moment.
Pretty awesome.
She's feeling comfortable. And this old woman says, "Well, I've met you, Cindy. My name is Zoe. Welcome to my humble abode. What are all of your names?"
My name's Gimli. Pleasure.
I'm Elodie.
That's something I should have had you guys do more often later in the campaign, is introduce yourselves.
My name is Giveaway. The subtitles go crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My name's Giveaway.
I mean, I guess I could manually type all the subtitles for every episode, but
no. But I love YouTube subtitles. They're so funny. They just like jack it up all the time.
Says, yeah. "Hi, I'm Sam. I just met all these folks, but they seem really cool." Zoe says, "Oh, excellent, excellent. Let me prepare these," and she pulls down her coasters for her teacups. It seems like the water's almost done. She has this giant jar that's full of tea, and she has these little homemade tea bags, and she slips them in, pours the water in, grabs a little tray, sets the tea in front of each of you, and she has a seat at the head of the table, and she says, "What brings you to my house today?"
Well, if you've noticed, some of the Pokemon in the area have been acting a little different, and we're just, you know, checking around, seeing if anybody knows anything about what might be causing that.
Zoe says, "Oh, yes, of course," and she sips her tea. And she says, "You know, a lot of the locals seem to be blaming me for this heat wave and for the behavior of the Pokemon that's been quite strange lately. I've been a target of persecution here for a while, but I'm just trying to do my best to live a quiet life. Do I know what's causing it? Not directly, but I have my own theories." She takes a sip of tea.
Also take a sip of tea.
Excellent.
I'm taking a sip of this tea.
Yeah.
I also take really a potato. Good.
It's of course.
Yeah, you have to take a potato.
Yeah, I take one of her potatoes. For sure.
I want a potato, dude.
Yeah, it's simultaneously relaxing and energizing. It's really good.
It's the perfect tea.
Sam is like blowing on her cup. It's a little too hot for her.
What are your theories?
That flavor was supposed to be a reference how she's a ice type trainer.
He says, "Oh, I've been around for a very."
That's crazy. The foreshadowing goes crazy.
I mean, she has a Sneasel, but yeah.
Situations such as this with the weird weather, and
then she also gets a Spiel, right? That's also ice.
That wasn't planned. That was on the table, and I was like, you know what? Let's give her a Spiel. So that's what we did.
You know,
it's an ice type, you know, and there's truly canonically there's like no ice types in Hoenn. There's Spiel and Snowrun, and that's it. And they're just in one corner of the map. So
yeah, they're in this little ice cave area, and it's like okay.
Like everything's fine. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
About what Zoe has to say. Zoe says, things always go awry when people with big ideas meddle in ways that they shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah. Profound.
I wonder what she was talking about.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Sam and Sam was in the room too.
Yeah.
And then she looks at Sam directly. She definitely was like, her little
cabinet where there seems to be we were assessing the wrong fucking person.
There seems to be something that's like on an altar. And she goes over to her bookshelf. She thumbs around, pulls out a dusty little book. She wipes the dust off of it, and she opens it up, and she says to you, "Do you all know the story about why wild Pokemon appear in tall grass?"
I never really thought about it.
She gestures to her bookcase and she says, "I'm very proud of my collection. I've collected most of my
books." I could have probably flavored up this encounter more if this was after Legends Arceus came out, but I'm pretty happy with how it turned out anyway. But it would have been cool to have been able to have pulled from all that, despite the fact I pulled from Hisuian's Zoroark anyway without meaning to.
That's not to say they like you described, it's like her hair is white with like a little bit of red on the end.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
And like, isn't that like exactly Hisuian's Zoroark?
Pretty much. It's not tied up. Like,
well, your logic there, I assume, was like it's a ghost. So you're just like, this is like old Zoroark, so the hair will be white. Like,
yeah. That's kind of what I was going for. Yeah.
She looks at all of you, and she says,
"I would say canonically, retroactively, she is like Hisuian for sure, and she's very old." She would be from Hisui, and she knows all this stuff. She would have been a great resource and ally for the quest that Paco went on for the Arceus plates, but unfortunately, she had to be killed. So,
R.I.P.
It is what it is. Plot devices.
But yeah, she could have been like a lore master kind of character.
She goes back to the table and enjoys her time.
But she's trying to be subtle here, obviously.
You seem like an eclectic bunch. Where are you all from?
Really, all over the place. I'm from Sinnoh.
Her eyes kind of brighten a little bit, and she says, "Oh, Sinnoh, I've spent much of my time there with my
have you?
What brings you here to
the mines?"
That's crazy.
Which one?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
We really invented Legends Arceus.
We did, yeah.
Like, everybody was like listening to it later, was like, "Oh, it's obviously Hisui." And we're like, "We didn't know that existed."
No, this shit happened before. I think even before the game was announced, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Did you perhaps find any artifacts while you were mining?
Not at the time. It was always collected by the mining company. So
she says, you know, you can tell me. I always keep my best kept secrets over tea." And she gives you a wink as she says that.
I trust that, ma'am. Very much so.
She says, "Very well, very well."
Her suspicion intensifies.
She gestures.
Schmidt was onto something.
"Well, tell me a little bit about yourselves. I don't have guests and learn nothing about them."
"I'm from Kalos."
She says, "Ooh.
Kellogg's.
I think I pronounce it differently every time I say it.
That's part of the fun. That's just one of Elodie's quirks. Just keeps it spicy.
I'm excited to try all of the different foods."
Zoe gives you a nod and she says, "I think you'll find some very high quality cuisine here. Yes. I chose to settle here in the Hoenn region after my partner and I had our adventures because it's just such a comfortable place to live with so much diversity. I think you'll have a really good time while you're here." Sam chips in and says, "Hey, I'm from Sinnoh too. I had a really great time living there." And Zoe says, "Oh, interesting. What brings you?"
Did we remember that Sam is from Sinnoh? Because I didn't remember that.
Probably not.
But she said that.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Sam responds, you think I remember anything about what happens ever?
I just came at the wrong time, or you know, maybe it's the right time.
That's why we have group notes. I don't remember nothing.
Zoe says, "Oh yes."
Anyone ever listens to the recaps of every episode ever, where it's like, "Oh, what happened last time?
I wasn't there.
I
wasn't there.
Been trying to get my gym badges, but I haven't won any battles yet. But here we are, trying again.
No, we won that battle at the secret base.
Yeah, but no gym battle.
No gym bad.
Credit is due.
Zoe looks over.
No gym bad, guys.
He says, "Oh, you'll do just fine. A time-honored tradition between people and Pokemon." Mm-hmm.
Did you ever participate in the gym challenge?
She looks fondly over towards the back wall by the bookcase, and she says, "No, I'm not much of a battler myself, or I guess I'm not great at giving commands. But my partner, Casey, always an excellent battler, had many badges. I think they ended up with a total of 28 badges between the regions. Incredible. Wow. Very talented. And I miss them dearly." You can all observe at the back wall what this shelf seems to be is some sort of shrine.
Legends Arceus didn't have any precursor to gyms, right?
Of a person. They're holding like a fox Pokemon. Smiling.
And the fox the...
Pokemon is very happy. There's some unlit candles. There's
what were they called? The totem?
They're like
Pokemon?
Noble Pokemon.
Noble, yeah.
So
they were like
it was more like Titan vibes, like from Scarlet Violet, like that. Like,
yeah,
quite a big Pokemon.
So maybe a lore inconsistency there. If I had known that Arceus was gonna not have gyms, which makes sense. But maybe Casey's from like late Hisui. I don't know.
If you've come for ancient knowledge, you've come to the right place. I know a great deal, many things about not just the Hoenn region, but the world as a whole. In my travels, I have learned a great deal. And thanks to these books, and she gestures over to the wall, she says, I've learned a great deal from these as well. Some people take suspicion in my teachings, in the knowledge that I have, and thus they've called me the witch as such, and maybe because I have so much tea, and she gestures over to her giant tea jar. It is really quite enormous. It's like, if it held liquid, it would be like several gallons. It takes up the whole counter, basically. I'm always happy to have visitors, so please come by anytime, just for tea, asking questions. I don't mind at all.
Wasn't the whole purpose to ask about the weather?
Mm-hmm. We did, but she didn't really know that? Anything. Okay. She just told
she said she suspected it had like similar, Groudon. Basically, she alluded to.
Okay, if we talked about everything, then that's it, I guess. Schmidt is does not like witches, but also respects their space, so he would like to get out of here and leave everything alone.
Awesome Schmidt lore.
Just like get up, and backpedal out. You say anything?
He actually like literally walks backwards, and it's like, oh well, I guess we don't have anything else to say, or let's go, let's get out of here, guys. Great time, good tea. Let's go.
Yeah, ma'am, we appreciate you welcoming us into your home, but I think we have all the questions we need.
She waves at you and she says, well, it's very, very nice meeting you. Once again, if you have any more questions about the world or me or anything at all, please feel free to come by. And don't forget, my best kept secrets are always kept over tea. And she gives you another wink.
I forgot what I was getting at there. I think that was it was supposed to be a hint for something, but I don't remember what it was.
It sounds like you're leading into something, but it never came up.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
In the residential area, Sam looks at a gadget on her wrist, and she says, "Well, I know that you all have some more things you'd like to do, but now that it's cooling down, I think I want to go back onto the route and see if I can make any more headway on this mystery. It's unfortunate that I don't think Zoe's been able to help us out very much, but she gave me kind of an idea of what might be happening. Would you all be okay if I went and did that while you continued your errands?"
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so,
good.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Sam gives you a wave. She says, "I'll meet up with you back at the Pokemon Center."
Sounds good.
And she runs off to the route where you came from. Mm-hmm. There's a couple more places you can visit in Fortress City. What would you like to do?
Can you list out the couple of places for us again?
Sure.
As a reminder.
There's a building with a bunch of people milling about that you're pretty close to. It would just be a left turn out from the residential area. There's a big sign that says Rite of Passage, Fortress City. And then there seems like a guy in a lab coat.
Rite of Passage.
He's shouting at the roof for some reason. Like he's facing the sign and he looks very upset. And then just further south of there, past the gym, is a commercial area, as you understand. It's what Sam described as a commercial area where you can buy things.
I'm a little
guy in lab coat.
Dusty. Yelling. Let's put that.
I mean, we're still trying to investigate. Do y'all want to check out this this guy with the lab coat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
That's all we know is yelling at sign. Does the sign say anything? Or
the sign says rite of passage for Tree City.
Oh, that's right. Those were the. They said that that was the research facility.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Guy probably just got fired or something and is mad.
But we should probably still, if we're looking to investigate, we should.
But like, why did they fire him?
But like, also, what if he's upset and wants to hurt people?
I have three Pokemon. It's fine.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but what if he wants to hurt us?
It'll be fine.
I mean, but you're fearless. What do you care?
I have never said that in my life.
You're our fearless leader.
Never have I said fearless. Fear is what keeps you alive.
That's a great quote. Holy shit.
Okay, great.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, we just go.
That is a good quote.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
There's a guy in a lab coat, and he looks clearly upset.
It's really
he's
good.
Just, like, shouting something at... You can tell that there was someone in a window that's towards the roof, and they have their hands on the sign, and he says, no, 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 they got it wrong. It's a translation error. It's not rite of passage. It's rite of learning. We're here to learn. There's nothing about passing. Please, we need a new sign. And he just is so upset, and he's just ranting and raving.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
And he turns around, and he says, oh, hello.
What does?
You happen to be a trainer?
You're like rite of passage, like even you're like rite of passage.
Yeah.
And he shakes it vigorously. Right alert. Yes, welcome, welcome. My name is Professor Hemlock, and welcome to the Fortree City Rite of Learning. And he jeers up at the employee who's trying to like unfit this sign. He looks at all of you and he says, well, I hope that you're all trainers. This is a new facility we've opened here. If you haven't heard of it, there's an organization in the Laris region. It's called the Rite of Learning. And there they take in young trainers. And they can answer questions about their Pokemon, teach them new moves. It's a really delightful place. Why don't you come in? You can be our first experiments, so to speak. And he lets out a giggle. He ushers you to the big sliding glass doors. And does everyone enter?
Absolutely.
Great.
Okay.
I enter, but I tell Quacko to draw a sword.
Quacko draws a sword. He may have, you know, let Zoe get by. But he's not going to let Professor Hemlock get by. That's for sure.
That actually thinks the leak is a sword.
We do not respect this.
He genuinely thinks it's a sword.
You all walk in this.
That's funny.
Large.
I like it.
Dome-like building. It's clearly a new facility. There's still that kind of scent of like. New
also, the idea of Farfetch'd drawing a sword is funny because he doesn't have a hilt. Like he's always carrying it. So I guess drawing a sword is just kind of pointed it outward, right?
And lab coats running around, and there's lots of little Pokemon that are carrying things. You see there's some sort of turbine spinning.
I have a little old man gripe about Spotify and YouTube comments, which is a fair amount of people who fairly assume that Quacko is just Galarian. They're just like, oh yeah, that's a Galarian Farfetch'd. Probably because they're younger than we are. They don't really understand that there's an older one.
They don't understand that there's a real Farfetch'd.
Yeah, pretty funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's come up a few times. I think there was this fight like halfway, like 50-ish or something, where Quacko got 3 crits, and they're like, why didn't he evolve? And I was like, he's not Galarian. I don't know what to tell you. It's just kind of funny.
Professor Hemlock
definitely ages me a bit.
Quacko, who is behaving in a very intimidating manner, or a very wary manner, one or the other. And he says, oh, incredible, fascinating, a Kanto Farfetch'd. And he kneels down and he has a clipboard and he starts writing something very, very fast. And he says,
I move my body in a position in between him and my Farfetch'd.
Professor Hemlock says, incredible, this looks like a very, very fierce specimen. And he seems to be taking notes on it, and he says, what was the last thing it ate? And he's still scribbling and scribbling.
Bobs.
Bobs.
Bobs, wasn't it? We haven't eaten since.
Yeah.
Professor Hemlock says, ooh, kebabs, incredible, incredible. And then he stands up, and he's just got, you can kind of peek on his paper, and it's literally scribbles. Like, you really cannot tell what he was writing down. I don't know how long you've been together, but I assume that you're here for the gym challenge, correct?
Kind of. Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Excellent. If you have any questions about your partners, about moves they may learn, about making them stronger, perhaps making them more defensive, more evasive, perhaps, to prepare you for the gym battle, please let me and my aides know. In exchange for research and notes, we can help you become better battlers. And an aide walks by and kind of eyes Farfetch. He's like, oh yeah, that's a cool Farfetch, dude.
He like melts some of his defensiveness a little bit. And he's like, yeah, this is a cool Farfetch.
Professor Hemlock gestures and he says, well, who would like to go first?
Me and Trevor will do it.
You step forward. Professor Hemlock says, oh, a rock and roller. And he turns his notebook and he starts scribbling notes. He says, what do you think about your partner? Is he effective in combat? Hmm?
Very much so. We have very good synergy. We've been partners for a long time.
Excellent, excellent. And he's still drawing. It looks like he's doing a doodle now because his pen clearly moved in a really big circle. He says,
I do like it in the anime when the cast will like visit just a family or some people, whatever, etc. And there'll be some older trainers, and they'll have just like a really tiny little baby guy. Like, let maybe a Magby or Sunkern or something. And Ash or the cast will ask, like, how long have you been, like, Pokemon partners? And they'll be like, oh, you know, like, 70 years. And it's just a little guy. I just love the implication that applies to the D&D world. That, like, you can have a Pokemon partner and, like, not really, like, train. But you can still be friends, you know? I think that's just a cool vibe.
Yeah.
Speaking of Gimli being friends with Trevor for a long time and not having evolved just because they just didn't need to have combat, you know? They just didn't need it.
He was a utility.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea. It's like, yeah, just a buddy. Utility there that it's like, it just makes sense.
Albert,
yeah.
And then an aide is like, oh yeah, I got Albert right here. And he
besties and work buddies, you know?
Me and my 70-year-old buddy.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Stuff like that.
I can imagine a Badu being a little old man, though.
I think there are old-looking so Badus in the anime, right?
Leaves are wilting.
Like they're all wrinkly and stuff.
They look like the lettuce on a Big Mac.
Boom! Super. Yeah. It like leaves like a shockwave in the sand, and it's like very loud. Professor Hemlock says, "Oh, excellent! Truly, truly incredible!" And he has Albert give him a couple more smacks. It seems like Trevor is not like in any pain at all. Albert is like hitting in a very, very deliberate way. The sand is kind of flying around. There's like a small sandstorm that's forming around Trevor as he's getting smacked several times by this little Machop. And he says, okay, perfect. That's enough. Very good. Professor Hemlock gestures to you and says, if you wouldn't mind inspecting Trevor currently. So you pick him up and you take a look at him, and his rocky exterior is a lot more smooth than it used to be. Hmm. It seems like all the sand has kind of eroded some of his rougher edges, and he seems a little bit more hardy.
It's just the rock and roll in a rock tumbler.
Yeah, basically. Constitution
or his AC.
Holy shit, that's a strong buff tumbler. So early. What the hell?
So basically, rock and roll. I said the same thing.
He looks at his clipboard. And he says, "Oh, we've got some really, really great."
That's funny how we don't change. Great.
We are the same people.
Isn't that crazy? Can't believe it.
And I'm still into rocks.
All three of them.
All three of them.
Great.
Like, these are my friends.
Professor Hemlock looks over.
Did I really give you an AC or con boost like right away?
And Soul Eater,
probably.
Soul Eater,
that's fucked up. I shouldn't have done that.
That's fucked up.
And I don't. Did I give that to anyone else though? Like, did anyone else's starters get a buff? We'll see. Maybe it's balanced.
I think
we
got a move. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's fair. Maybe it's fair.
Asking you questions and pestering you and pestering you.
Plus one AC on the third session is crazy.
Well, we'd love to hang out with all of your friends, but if we're going to go through each trainer, we'll have to have you pick one. So if you would like to have us conduct some research on one of these Pokemon, you'll have to choose. He looks at you and he says, sometimes the greatest weapon is information. And he points to his head. You don't have to.
Cindy, in her infinite wisdom. Mm-hmm. So Cookie is not actually a cookie?
He gestures and he says, this Goomy, this is Cookie?
Yes. It's a cookie.
He kneels down and he puts his hands like just outside of Cookie's face, and he looks at you and he says, may I?
Yeah.
Okay. He grabs Goomy's cheeks and he pinches him and shakes him around, and Goomy's just Cookie's just like getting all gooey. And he says, absolutely incredible. And then he gestures and he says, may I hold this specimen for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
So he picks up Cookie and he goes over to a little table, a little altar, and he plops Cookie down on there. And he says, this will only take a moment, and he presses some buttons, and some, like, grid-looking lasers scan over Cookie over and over again, and he says, oh, interesting, fascinating, ooh, very good. And then there's a little ding, and he looks at a monitor, and he says, oh, wow. Something. He's made a big discovery, clearly. He very gingerly picks up Cookie and hands Cookie back to you. And he asks, where did you find the Scoomy?
The Scoomy?
On the way here, but like right outside of the cove.
He writes this down and he says, are you from here? Do you understand that Scoomy aren't particularly common in the Hoenn region?
I've never seen one before. I genuinely thought it was a cookie because it ate some of my cookie.
He lets out a chuckle. And he says, oh, genius.
Flawless logic, honestly.
Yeah. You are what you eat,
it
right?
It eat cookie, so it cookie now. Like, nope. That, nope.
It appears like its DNA is different from the other Goomies that we have on file. I would
trust, it's because he ate the cookie.
If you would please raise this Goomy well.
DNA different because of cookie.
Take it back here to our research facility. I would love
I guess Cookie never came back.
Oh,
to
we never did
facility.
That, did we?
I think by this point, Schmidt is like,
well, didn't we find out that the this whole organization was like working for energy or something?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't get
the specific... Was it all of them or was it just that location?
You didn't get the specific politics of it, but
I wanted to mention, I know,
gosh,
it doesn't seem like it gave
it seemed like at least the Mos Deep one was kind of being strong-armed into providing stuff, and they couldn't say no to the money. Imagine science being underfunded and having to rely on other resources.
Like, something is there.
Sorry to make it real.
I'm like, I caught this Pokemon today. Her name is Patricia, and I love her.
It seems like Professor Hemlock is delighted every time he sees a new Pokemon.
Of Patricia.
Says, oh, incredible!
Was the Goomy having a unique form? I didn't realize I was that clear about it. I thought it was more subtle. Did you pick up on that?
He was like, raise it up well. I didn't realize that it would be like a crossbreed. I was just like, cool, I got a special one.
Okay, cool. I'm glad it was still kind of a surprise then.
Of Patricia's wings? Like, they're super floofy, and he's just kind of dangling her in the air, and he says, oh, incredible, so light, so fluffy, mmm, and then he just kind of drops, and then Patricia starts flapping in place, and he pulls out his clipboard, and he says, this is quite the specimen. You probably caught this one right on Route 20, I'm guessing, yes?
Yes. Yeah. I caught it today. This is the first Pokemon I've ever caught.
Oh, incredible. You must be so, so proud. Unlike Goomy, Swablu are quite common in this area, but this one is quite unique. Is there anything you would like to know about it? Is there anything you'd like to teach it?
How would you like to?
He says, well, this one.
If you think about it, Swablu was technically Schmidt's starter. Nice and
pointed. Yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
Looks at it.
His first OT Pokemon.
Because I don't think any of us picked up on the fact that, like, you keep saying, like, this is the first Pokemon I've ever caught. Like, you have Quacko.
The party took a while to... Or I don't think they ever really did catch on to that until the subpoena hit.
What does Patricia do?
Well, Swablu tend to be very versatile battlers. They can do many great things. They can be damage dealers. They can be disruptive, cause status ailments. It seems like this one is better suited for close quarters combat. I would be happy to help you teach it a new move, or perhaps work on its strength. Up to you.
Close quarters combat. Maybe make it a little...
We hadn't really developed, like, our...
Like our friend over there.
Maybe y'all had in your head, but I don't think I'd caught on to...
Wait to get started.
And like, the role of the team, of, like, Schmidt being, like, the assassin character.
If his hands were outstretched, and one was, like, underhand, one was overhand.
Yeah.
I have no thoughts like, head empty on a good day. I wasn't thinking about
I styled your, like, feats and bonuses around that kind of stuff, but I think you guys also naturally kind of fell into it just by being gamers. I think if you play an RPG, you know, you're going to have those roles pretty clearly defined, and we're all gamers.
Yeah, this is how I build my characters in general in most games I play, not even just, like, tabletop RPGs.
Yeah.
In her eyes, and she's just like, and then, like, lets out a squawk and, like, flaps her wings like she's ready to go.
Professor Hemlock says, Patricia, now is your time! And, like, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but he just chucks her into this wind tunnel that is vertically arranged in the center of this research facility, and the wind is blowing...
Was the wind tunnel described before? Or did it just appear?
I think it just appeared.
That's awesome.
It just generated.
Yeah,
oh my awesome. God, there's a wind tunnel.
That's fucking sick.
Wind tunnel!
And Patricia seems to be going, like...
Secret wind tunnel.
And, like, it's thrown into the side, and she's doing her best to maintain her mobility. Would you roll a constitution check for her?
Oh, with a modifier.
Good sound.
Okay. Patricia is getting buffeted by these winds, and it's really, really intense. And she slams into a glass panel that's on the side, and she gets carried away by the wind for a second, and then the turbines cool down a little bit, and they become a little less predictive. Professor Hemlock says, "Patricia, are you doing okay?" And in my head, Patricia lets out a confident squawk, and is ready for another go. If you'd like to roll another Constitution check.
You can't make this up.
Yeah.
Oh God.
This one is a 5.
This one's a 5. Excellent. Professor Hemlock boots up the spinning turbines again, and he says, "All right, Patricia, round 2. It's now or never." And Patricia is all confident. The wind.
Patricia's pretty sick. I'm a Patricia fan. Any other Patricia fans in the chat?
It's a
I'm a big Patricia fan.
It's not
nice.
Pretty big.
Anyone else?
That Patricia used to fly in.
Okay, just the 3 of us.
Just haters.
Yeah.
Just haters, yeah.
Slides into the last panel, and Crazy. Hemlock says, "Okay."
I forgot that she kind of, like, failed this, but I think that means she doesn't get any bonus, question mark?
I'd imagine.
You gave me, like, a move that had, like, no name and no description.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, and then, like, we had to, like, train it to do it later. And I figured out it was Dragon Dance, I think.
Yes, that's what it was. Okay, so this still kind of works. Yeah, I think my intention was to give Dragon Dance on a success, but it was not successful.
You know, she did better than it might seem. I think that she might have gotten a little something out of that. Patricia is young, and you caught her, what, just hours ago, perhaps. But she has a great power dwelling within her. If you train, I believe you'll come across a very powerful attack. But it needs more work. So remember, in your downtime, train with her, and bring her to battles whenever you can.
Okay.
This I think Schmidt definitely did that. I think Patricia came to many a battle.
Use it in battle. Yeah. You might want to write this in your notes. You can use it in battle. You'll have to make a nature check. If you pass the nature check, the effect will happen. And if you do it enough, you might learn it. You might know what the effect is. But you have a new secret move.
Okay, I stand by that. I think that's kind of cool, actually.
And he says, "Well, last but not least," and he gestures over to Elodie, and he says, "Is there any? Do you have any partners?"
I think Patricia came to all the gym challenges except Watson.
Push.
The first Watson she came to, though, right?
Excellent.
Did she come to the first Watson?
Seems like every time.
Well, I remember I had to bring Farfetch'd.
You didn't have Buford. That's his name, right?
Yeah, I didn't have Skarmory.
And he kind of like pokes her.
Did I have anything else by that point?
Oricorio.
I may have only had the 3.
Yeah, pretty sure.
She just kind of, you know, grimaces.
We haven't gotten there yet, but God, do I love Schmidt's second gym challenge, dude. It's so good.
Professor Hemlock says, "Are there any particular battle skills you would like to train Cabbage in, or perhaps you'd like to learn more about her biology?" And he just kind of trails off with his clipboard.
I guess I'm curious as to her biology. She seems like she's made of milk.
Awesome.
She does seem that way, doesn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, that's
I
pretty.
Think she might be made of milk.
That's so fucking sick. I always say that about so my best friend. You know.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I think she might be made of milk.
He presses a button. And
that's fucking great.
Classic.
That's way funnier than it has any right to be. It's awesome.
Yeah. You guys don't even try to be funny. You just fucking do it. It's all
nah,
phenomenal.
Yeah. Just say shit.
My whole life, everything I say, I have to ask teacher, like, "Why are you laughing at me?"
Yeah.
All the time. And it's like, "What do you mean?"
All the time.
That was fucking hilarious.
Throws cabbage in the blender and he turns it on.
Oh God, I forgot she got blended.
Cabbage spins around.
It's so fucked.
She keeps her form, of course.
Takes your best friend and puts them in the blender.
Yeah. Oh, made of milk, you say? Let's put that to the test.
That's it. You're going in the blender.
Yeah. This is amazing. And you can tell that her body is becoming, like, gradually slightly more whipped. It's like a thicker consistency as this is happening. And he says, "Yes, yes, of course. Mm, yes. Great.
I wanted to make Hemlock a little quirky, and I think he did a pretty good job.
Don't eat my best friend.
It's quirky. Don't say
Well, it's milk. What would you do?
No. Wait, you say
it's sentient milk. It's different.
Can't wait to get that a sip. I think it works.
If you're curious about your Milsur's biology, I would consider giving it a gift and then giving it to Spin.
You're concerned about its biology. Well, I know they're made of milk, okay. So.
Are we literally about to just stick Milsur in a blender every time we run into one?
Every time we run into a blender.
Because we ran into so many.
So
many
often.
Blenders. So many. Well, I think we need to lengthen the campaign another 50 or so episodes at this point. We need more blenders. I mean, we never found out.
5 out of 10, not enough blenders.
About what you give it might the effects of the things to give it.
That was so eloquent.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, thank you. Learn how to evolve it.
No, I recognize that. Just
throw it in a blender.
Well, I'm spinning it. I don't think it needs to be a blender. Hopefully. I got a 21.
Yeah, 21. Great. Despite the gibberish that you just spouted, it seems like Professor Hemlock like totally understands. He's like, yes. I know that this is all can be very confusing, but you're very smart. You're very eloquent. He says...
He's so right.
It is certainly common...
How did he know?
...your Milsuri can. Our research suggests, based on the Laris Region Institutes, that you may not necessarily need candy, or perhaps you may not even need anything edible to have doted to your Milsuri. Please keep this in mind.
I'm going to give Milsuri my whisk and just kind of, like, turn her a little bit.
Okay.
Just see what that does.
Cabbage just kind of spins with the whisk. It's really cute. Mm-hmm. It is really, really cute. But nothing really happens.
Nothing happens. Okay.
From this process, you are welcome to grant 1 point to either constitution or wisdom or intelligence for Cabbage. Professor Hemlock says, wow, we've gotten such a great deal of information from you all today. Please, I would love it if you came back at some other point on your adventure. I'm so sorry that we are just getting set up here, but I promise this is a very exciting adventure for us here in Fortree. If you are traveling the Hoenn region and it seems like you're taking the gym challenge, I understand that there are other locations that are opening new Rite of Learnings. The closest one, I believe, is in, and then he kind of like looks at his clipboard. He says, yes, Lava Ridge Town. If you find yourself there, please stop by. My associates would love to see your Pokemon.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, this was interesting.
Very insightful.
He says, no, of course, thank you. I have much to notate, so please run along. And he just like turns around and completely ignores you and runs into an office. And the aides are just scurrying about. It seems like there's a Pokemon that's carrying like a little beam somewhere, like a steel beam, taking it to a different wall. And people are just doing their job. You exit the Rite of Learning, and you can see that leaning up against the wall, there's a sign that says Rite of Passage, and they took it down because it's a typo from a translation error. The sun is starting to set, but it's still really hot. You're on the eastern edge of the town, and there's still a lot of heat coming from Route 120. It seems like it hasn't cooled down at all, despite the sun setting. And then directly in front of you is the Commercial District. Would you like to check that out?
Absolutely.
Is there a Kmart in town?
Schmidt is like, oh man, it's hot and the sun's getting in my eyes. I sure wish I had a hat. And then Patricia just like kind of floats onto Schmidt's head and then sits on him like a hat.
Very sweet.
Aww. You love to see.
I googled that.
Yeah, it's in the decks.
That's in the decks, yeah.
It's interesting. There's like one big building with a main.
Was this the same session? While this is Did we end up splitting this up?
It seems like all the buildings are connected.
Regarding what?
From like this episode and the last episode?
That lead into these different areas.
No, they were not the same session.
It just kind of says. Okay.
I think.
Above the double door.
I think there's only one or two pairs of episodes that we split up.
Enter this building and it is truly like an
important. One of them is 19 to 20. For sure. That was the Mauville City combat with Split.
Right in front of you.
And then there's another one. I don't remember where it was though.
I think it was Cookie.
Like moody, maybe kind of tired. It's hard.
And the beginning of the desert, the Skarmory fight. Yeah.
We did split that up. Yes, thank you.
And on top of the desk there is a mouse Pokemon that has tints of blue. And it's holding onto a wire that is connected to a little box that has a record in it, and it's playing some music. And they're just hanging out. They're just having a time.
I put in some shop music here.
This does not look like K. This doesn't look like any shopkeep you've seen before. He looks up to you, and he just kind of says, welcome in.
Hello.
I wanted the awkward silence there. That's pretty good.
Yo, what up, G? What's the word on the street?
Schmidt, what the fuck?
He looks at you and he says...
That's awesome. That's really good.
Who the fuck knows, man?
I don't know what's going on anymore, man.
No.
Okay. This is just for flavor.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, should I make you roll for this? Because that could be fun.
Roll to impress him.
Right.
Roll that I accidentally throw the wrong hand sign up.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
We're not doing initiate combat.
No, we don't have to do that. This guy kind of just gives you a look. He's like, let me know if you need help finding anything.
Cindy just does that, like, you smile when you make eye contact with somebody as you're walking, that, like, little smile, but, like, doesn't really say anything.
Mm-hmm. This is...
The white person smile.
Like, yeah,
or seriously. Shops you've been to. Like, it's like, it's the indoor equivalent of the festival you were at, basically. But
was this
like,
not like, one of the A-Marts? I guess it wasn't. Good. They have a Minin.
No, it's just a regular Mart.
Weird. Weird.
Gonna be here for
I don't know what I was thinking with that. Maybe I thought Kmart would be, like, a one-off thing.
Potentially. Might not have everything.
And then you just decided to roll with it later? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I mean, I knew I wanted the Pika clone thing.
Battle shoes.
What do you have in
mind? Until, you know, we went to Duford and there was Mudbray. I like, you know, I wanted to do that.
Okay.
Mudbray's an honorary Pika clone, honestly, right?
Yeah, Mudbray's basically a Pika clone.
Yeah, thank you.
Like kitchen section. They have
camping section.
Yes.
I think for quite a while, this was the longest episode.
I don't know what you call them, like portable.
I remember after we finished, I was like, "Oh, this is like a, you know, it's like a almost 2-hour recording after the edit."
Okay, Schmidt has.
But now that's not quite as weird.
Our average is like RP and lore, though.
Yeah, definitely. No, our average nowadays. I forgot that we found those shoes. What the fuck? Did we make that?
I think I sent that to you.
That's so funny. Yeah, I used to push it
because I definitely like Googled something and I found like a reference.
That's so funny.
That's so funny that there's even a picture on the YouTube video, and somebody still commented that they wish that the thing that happened actually happened. But like, it did happen.
What was the comment?
Really, really awesome.
Oh, I have to find it.
Unfortunately, they aren't black and gold.
Let me
look. They're pink and green. The shoes are pink, and the text is green. And
we be far away from the microphone and laughing.
Very similar to Comic Sans, but they're there, and there's a price tag on them.
I wish that when he rolled a 6, instead of the shoes being a different color, that it would be the shoes had a typo. Like, instead of battle, it says paddle.
Yeah,
didn't it say bottle or something?
I thought they were bottle shoes.
Yeah, they said bottle.
Yeah.
God, I wish that happened. That would have been so funny.
Yeah, that would have... missed opportunity for sure.
They should have really thought about that.
And he says, like everyone always says, like, oh, like go check in the back, but we like literally have nothing different in the back. But just to make you happy, I'll go look for you. He stands up, and as his shoulders lean back for him to stand up, you see that he has a name tag. His name tag says Shay.
Oh, it is Shay Mart.
Stands up, walks towards the back.
Sorry, I got excited.
I definitely want to
check. Whoa!
Oh. Okay, so I did do it.
Dope. It is Shay Mart.
I think I'm just perusing, so I definitely want to just like. Scope out what they may or may not have.
Sure. Yeah, they have tents, they have flashlights, they have bungee cords, they have chains, they have thermoses, all sorts of stuff.
What's the pricing on both the tent and the bungee cord?
The tent is a flat 100, and the bungee cord comes in a 4-pack. They are 12 feet long, and that is going to be 20.
My boots are fine. Is there any like sun hats in this area?
Not in the camping area, but if you turn around, there's like a hat rack. All sorts of hats.
I'm definitely looking for like classic like dad sun hat with the little like drape thing in the back since we're walking around the sunny area. And
yeah.
I'm quite bald.
Like a bucket helmet.
Yeah, is it like a bucket hat or a straw hat or like a baseball cap? Like what are you looking for?
I guess you just described it.
I guess more like a bucket.
I did, yep.
That's pretty funny. I did not internalize that at all. I think I was like preparing to improv what hats would be there, and so I was buying for time, I think.
Makes sense.
11. You find a bucket hat, and it has like a green and white paisley pattern on it, and it's a little garish. And then on the front of it, it looks like someone just like stitched a white patch. And on the white patch, there's red text, and it says Women Want Me, Carvana Fear Me.
And fun fact for the listeners, I own that hat now.
That's not awesome.
The green paisley, though. It's just like a khaki hat that says that.
Yeah,
it's like a trucker hat. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I do have the hat.
It's a pretty sick hat, yeah.
That's a bucket. It's not a trucker. That's a bucket hat.
Oh, is it nice?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You walk up to the counter, and Shay is returning, and he has a shoebox. And he says, well, I found these ones, but I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're looking for. He opens the box to show to Schmidt, and he finds black and gold sneakers. They have text on the side, and they say bottle.
Oh.
Bottle. I'd wear those.
Bottle.
He said, I could sell you some gold paint if you just kind of want to patch that up, if you're looking for the battle text.
I don't think Schmidt is especially crafty himself, so I don't. Dang, I think he'll wait. I think he'll buy the shoes at a later time.
All right,
because they have to be the perfect shoes. That'll be his level up, right? Like in his mind, he's like, okay, we're gonna go in, we're gonna do this first gym easy, and then whenever gyms start getting hard, we're gonna get the shoes, and then it's gonna be our level up. We're be better trainer.
Hell yeah.
What the fuck am I talking about?
I like
it. Clothes maketh the man, dude.
It's like the plan in his head.
I imagine he's
like saying it quietly to himself. But it's like,
that's awesome flavor.
Okay. I feel like Quacko's like nodding along. Like, yeah.
If Patricia's just on his head, just vibing.
Good. Shay says, all right, man, whatever. And he just like literally throws the shoes behind him.
Right, man, whatever, dude.
He looks at the hat that says, women want me, Carvana fear me. And he looks at you and he's just like, sure, man. That's gonna be 32.
sure,
I love the fact he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Shay takes your money.
Shay is definitely
the
like
pathetic retail worker.
Yeah, he's the least animated of the cousins for sure. At the body.
Let's add a little squeak. Sure, man.
And then he closes his eyes, goes back to napping, powering whatever this music player is, and hands you the items. He says, "Thank you." Anyone else looking for anything for their journey?
Be like, excuse me. Your name is Shay, right?
He says, yep, don't make me do the thing. And then he reaches back and he puts on a hat and it says, welcome to Shay Mart. And he's like, here we are in Shay Mart. This is my store. My family runs the businesses all over Hoenn. And then he takes off the hat.
What the fuck?
That was awesome.
I think I improvised that. I don't think I wrote that down. That's crazy, dude.
Like, yeah, Kay's my cousin. And then he like gestures over to the wall and there's a family photograph of like.
I think all of the shopkeep should have done that song. I think that's
fucking yeah.
I'm just
what the fuck happened
like,
to the song?
In my head, like going to like the frame art while he like has you like pinned in like a leg lock in the rings.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be the new canon for sure. Is that they all do that?
We know Kay. No, sorry.
We do know Kay.
Oh yeah, this is the first time the exploitation happened.
You know, you know Pablo, right?
He kind of raises an eyebrow. He's like, "I love Pablo," and like his eyes kind of water a little bit. He's so enamored.
Everyone loves
Pablo. And he's like, you met Pablo? And his little blue mouse friend is fully awake and sitting at attention and is like looking directly at Elodie.
Yeah, he got kidnapped, unfortunately, but you know, we were able to save Pablo and return him to Kay, but it was really tough. Oh my goodness. The people in around the Lily Cove area really know how to battle and steal things.
As you say kidnapped, Shay's like jaw drops and he's like, please tell me Pablo's okay. Please.
Yeah, he's we saved him. We returned him to Kay.
He lets out a sigh of relief and he says, you have no idea how grateful I am for you. I have all sorts of goods for trainers that we just got a shipment in, and I'm probably not supposed to do this, but I can get you them at clearance prices if that helps. I'm not very good at these kind of bartering things.
That does help. What do you have?
He's got all sorts of stuff. It's true that he has a fresh shipment, and he gestures. He's like, anything in the glass cabinet, let me know, and I'll see what I can do for you. What are you looking for?
Maybe just like a potion.
Yeah, he's got plenty of potions. They come in different colors.
Potion.
Is this Grace or is
potion?
This
potion.
Yes.
Yes. He's like, so I'm looking for these shoes that are like black and gold and have the word battle on them.
Are you saying this to Shay?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, it's the best I got. Model's pretty cool. I might get those shoes myself, actually. In response to Elodie/Grace saying potion, he's like, yeah, I can get you three for the price of one.
Great, I'll do that.
Cool. He asks you for $10.
$10 is great. Here you go.
Great. And you get three potions. Add that to your inventory. Tell you what, I like you guys. You give me good business. I'll let you know a little secret. He reaches under the desk where he's got the cabinet of trainer's goods, and he pulls out a special-looking Pokeball. It is light blue and has little...
This didn't come up as often as I thought it would, but I like the idea of it. Just, you know, specialty Pokeballs. Just seems neat.
Next week, they're going to have us start selling these Fortree balls. I don't know what they do, but they look pretty cool.
I think the intention is that they worked better for certain types.
And he looks at his list, and he says... for a great ball price. How's that?
I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Did anyone catch anything in a city-specific ball? I don't remember.
Fortree ball.
He says, all right, I gotta have 24 for the display next week. And he, like, is thinking about it. He says, all right, yeah, I can definitely part with 4. And if I'm letting them go at great ball price, which is about half off, that's going to be 45.
For the total?
Oh, no, for each.
Do we know what they do? Does he have any knowledge of the wear?
Yeah, he has an idea. He's like, I'm not exactly sure how they work, but apparently they work better on certain kinds of Pokemon.
I guess I'll take one.
All right. Transaction complete. You have a Fortree ball.
Nice.
I'll take one as well.
Great. Mark that
Cindy
off.
Cindy takes one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take one too.
Great. Do you say that that's steep out loud?
Yeah.
He says, hey man, this is over half off.
Half off, still steep.
he gives you a look, and he like just doesn't even know how to respond to that. He's like, all right, man. Yeah, you do you. As you go to exit, you smell smoke, and you look over towards the sunset, and the sun, which was like laying off an orange hue, is now a red haze. Roll me a perception.
I rolled a nat 1.
Oh, yeah. The first of many bad Quacko Packo perception
amazing.
Checks.
Yeah, all of you can roll if you want. If you want
a classic.
I
yeah.
got a 3+1.
I don't think this one was particularly impactful, but there, when we're listening, I'll try and point out perceptions that were big deals.
Okay. What did Gimli get?
Yeah, we stink at perception. We're just so oblivious.
It's so funny because other roles you guys are either great or like pretty consistently average at. But whenever I ask for a perception check, it's always a disaster.
Coughing up smoke.
And so many of them are nat one. Like, it's not even just they're low. The amount of nat one perception checks we got is like a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. And like, on top of that, too, like, it's just so funny. Like, really basic TTRPG D&D guides and stuff will just be like, you know, you can invest in whatever kind of character you want, but never make wisdom your dump stat because you're going to need to make a lot of perception checks, and that's important. And then fucking just always botching these is just, it's just silly. Pretty goofy. I don't think it significantly hampered the story in any way, besides the fact you might have been able to catch on to Sam's treachery quite a bit sooner. But I guess that's pretty significant. But I think it was fun. I think it worked. I think the fact that you guys missed it is kind of fun for the story anyway, so...
Schmidt is lying on the ground coughing.
Oh man.
Schmidt has passed
out. He's in so much pain.
Schmidt took a lot of damage.
If I had time and a dream, which I do not, I would go through and do like the statistics of like what percentage of perception checks are specifically nat ones.
Yeah, I would love to see that for sure.
It's gotta be like a ridiculous amount. Sorry.
No, you're fine. This is such a long episode. I can't believe I put that interstitial transition there. But
it might be the source of the smoke, but it's pretty obscured.
I guess this maybe could have been split into two.
I cannot hear you through the mic.
As you were walking, muted myself. I was blowing my nose.
Fish Pokemon that were still flopping around in the lake. It is gone.
Oh, but now I just lost my thought.
There are just columns and columns of smoke.
Sorry, I heard you talking, but I was like, you're definitely not talking in the mic.
A familiar figure who is lying on the ground, holding her knee, and she's screaming. Sam is down there and appears to be injured. She's confronted with some figure that is completely covered in smoke.
I'm gonna yell out, Sam, are you okay?
She turns around, she says, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I really need your help. Please, please come down here right now. There's a
I can't believe the Toidal fight is like right now.
Yeah,
right?
Same. Yeah, that really snuck up.
The whole is it the whole combat?
I don't know. We'll find out.
This smoke is probably
I think it is. In front of Sam. Is the next episode the gym challenge?
She's bleeding a little bit.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I could check, but I don't want to screw up the thing. Let me see. I'll check on my phone.
You don't recognize. It's not Frostbite's ball. She's trying to.
Oh yeah, the mysterious ball. Did anyone have any particular thoughts about that?
What are you gonna do here?
We investigate it.
Yeah, roll me an investigation.
Hard to have any without any leads, but.
Yeah.
Oh baby, not really? I'm on fire.
We're just like, oh, mysterious, or at least I was like, oh, mysterious, whatever.
Whoa.
Like,
whoa.
So
yeah, the next episode is Cindy's gym challenge. So this is the whole Toidal fight. That's crazy that we snuck that in here. This is the long one.
The one that causes damage. I get a nat failure.
Both of you remember that on your cruise over to Lily Cove, on your vacation, you were flipping through like a travel guide, and neither of you were paying like that much attention. But you remember looking at a list of powerful trainers, right? And they were featured with their ace Pokemon. One of them said, recently promoted Elite Four trainer Flannery, and accompanied by her ace Torkoal. Now, standing before you is hardly what you would call a Torkoal, but it looks not like anything.
A Torkoal. Thank you, subtitles.
This thing stands like 15 feet. What normally lets off like white smoke is dark, black, and sooty. What is generally a calm face with closed eyes is rage and open eyes that look very angry and very focused on Sam. It seems incredibly hot.
Was Winery at the Lily Cove thing and got Pokemon stolen or something? I feel like I remember that, but I could be misremembering.
I think Flannery was there, right?
No.
No?
Yeah, I described Flattery. Yeah,
no,
I did.
This Torkoal looks angry.
All right.
Are we sure that's a Torkoal?
Schmidt, in between coughs, is like, I recommend we grab Sam and bail.
Yeah, I'll pick her up.
Yeah, I don't know if we can face this, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm going to scoop her up and then try to get out.
Okay. Yeah.
Strike check. 16.
Okay. Yeah, that's sufficient to pick up Sam and you're starting to run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, we out.
You're running. The Torkoal, or so it seems, lets out a groan.
Torkoal.
Yeah.
And it can't move that fast.
That's not what Torkoal sounds.
But as it does it, the jungle foliage that is on either side of the riverbank ignites, and it feels a lot hotter now.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
And he very slowly chases after you, but it's not very fast. Is it your intention?
It's like Scooby-Doo scene.
Is it what's your plan right now with Sam in Gimli's arms?
I mean, I think we're just trying to head back to town, right?
Let the forest burn.
What
if this thing gets into town?
That's true.
And other people in town can help us.
I mean, we have to get people in town to help us stop the thing, right?
Yes, but what if this thing reaches the people that are already in town?
The town is made out of trees, friends.
That was, in fact, the point, Elodie, of the combat being threatening.
Yeah.
Thank you for landing on it.
It was a distraction, and then he runs out with Patricia and Quacko. To initiate battle. He just said that like he needs to be battling with Patricia.
Cool.
So he's like, now's the time.
What's the plan for the rest of you?
You're gonna battle. You're not gonna
that would have set a way different tone for the campaign if this combat failed and Fortree burned down.
No,
like,
no,
holy
so
shit.
So true.
It could have happened. So but no, you guys.
Cindy,
you guys managed.
Cindy will probably go fight it too. Because my Soli has flash fire, so it doesn't take damage from fire moves. So, Soli's already out, ready to go.
Trying to get Sam to safety, and I'll be back.
All right, Elodie?
I'll stay and fight.
Okay, it's initiative time. Cool, so Schmidt gets to go first to deal with this.
Oh, I just cut those out entirely. Does Kara cut those out entirely? I honestly don't know.
Use Patricia's mystery move.
There's no initiative rolls.
Roll the nature.
13.
Patricia starts, like, flapping very intensely. Seems like it has something on the mind, something that is within her primal memory. Not perfectly. It seems like the smoke is a little distracting. Patricia focuses her energy, a little distracted by the smoke, but she manages to get a bonus. Her next attack has advantage.
Am I, like, in front of this thing already, or...?
Yeah, you're within 30 feet of it.
I just have Quacko getting a defensive position. Quacko will be the back line. I'm going to start, like, attacking with Patricia, and then I'll be like, Quacko, draw your sword, and then Quacko's, like, ready on the sideline.
Great.
So the fourth draw your sword in this episode?
Cindy.
Yeah, he never actually put it away.
All right, so I'll probably send Solian with a quick attack, unless normal is not so good.
Okay, well, there's only one way to find out.
Okay.
Okay, roll to hit.
There's that type chart confidence I expect from Melissa.
I got a 6.
A 6?
None. Still none?
Solian yes. dashes forward, goes to give this giant Torkoal a big old smack. Seems to just kind of glance off of Torkoal's shell. It's really smoky, it's really hot, but Soli seems to be very confident and not too perturbed by these conditions. Elodie, show me what you got.
Gosh, having one Pokemon in one action feels so different. It made sense for the beginning, but, like, imagine how combat would feel now. Like, Schmidt's turn was using Dragon Dance, and that's it, you know? That's crazy.
Yeah. Not too shocking, though, because you get higher levels. You
know, and we were still figuring it out. And,
We were still learning the system.
No, it makes sense at the time, but in compared to where we're at now with the finale,
in retrospect,
it's
like, whoa.
So little to do.
Eyes the competition in front of it. And
well, it's just like the start of every venture. Use tackle!
Yeah.
For blood, apparently. It lowers its head, and out of its back comes plumes and plumes and plumes of more dense smoke than has been generally been coming out of its shell. It's going to request a constitution save from all the Pokemon.
2.
Oh, so formal.
30, 20.
Yeah, please. Blackout, would you give me a constitution save?
Well, could you give me a constitution save?
Pokemon that rolled higher than a 14 takes 3 damage. 3 poison damage.
14 con save's a little demanding for... 14. So early in the campaign.
Yeah, 14 con's pretty high this early, but I guess the intention was like, it's going to happen, bro.
Yeah.
You have disadvantage on pretty much everything, and you're going to take 2 damage at the end of your turn. Okay, we're going to check in with Sam and Gambling. Sam is...
Gambling.
She's like, I can't use
Frost. It's Sam and Gambling.
He's there for me, but it's just too hot. I have Kaz with me, but he won't listen. He won't listen.
Kaz name drop.
You have a ladder.
Yo, so early? That's crazy.
Or you can charge through the foliage, the thick jungle foliage, to get to the Pokemon Center. I'm assuming that's where you're going for medical attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ladder seems more like a dex, where charging through the foliage is probably more my style. So.
Okay. Yeah, give me a strength check.
18.
Yeah, that's enough. You trudge your way through the foliage. You manage to get just like about where the gym is. It looks like there's one more. You're in a clearing in front of the gym. There's going to be another patch of foliage to charge through, or you can take the ladder. But since these are rounds of like 6 seconds or so, we're going to check in with Schmidt.
Okay. I think I'm just going to peck.
Okay. Go for it.
13 to hit.
Okay, that is not quite enough for Torkoal's steady shell.
Damn.
Swablu flies in, and again, the smoke is just really overbearing.
This is a hard encounter, actually.
Sit well.
Yeah, the AC on Torkoal, actually crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense he's a turtle, but it should have been easier because he's, like, big or something. There's a way to justify it being easier. But what the heck, dude?
Well, we also weren't creative enough to, like, target certain parts and, like, talk about that type of stuff because we were new to the system, so it's like we're not making more sound combat decisions. It's fine.
It worked out. You ended up winning.
It worked out. Right.
But listening now, I'm like, this is... And, like, an AoE that poisons everything if you fail a 14 con? That's screwed up, dude.
Yeah, that is pretty aggressive.
Yeah, that's not a session 3 boss. That's, like, pretty crazy. I was going a little hard, I think.
Trainer battles, I would not mind you doing this. I think this is appropriate in this high stakes situation.
So
especially because I had decided early on that I wanted to unify bonuses for saves to be the same as checks. Just to keep things simpler because there was so much complication coming from everywhere else. And my logic was like, I'll just decrease the DCs for like attack saves and stuff to make it more balanced. And then I gave you a DC 14 con. It's like, what the fuck? Should have been 9, I think. I think if I was running this now, it would have been 9.
Cry. Is that a bonus? Can I use cry?
Yeah, 9-10 seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Just for where we're at in the game. 14. Yikes.
Right. If I were to use, like...
Elodie, it's on YouTube.
It is. It's true.
Really, I can't believe it.
Thank you, captions.
You can always, like, it's a Pokemon battle, right? But it's always D&D too. So if there's something that you want to do that's outside of the constraints of your moves, you can try it. You know, just let me know what it is.
Use aromatic mist for our allies here, so that will add 1d4.
Forgot about that move.
Saving throw for 1 minute.
Up next, it's the baddie. He leans back, takes a big...
Is that the first drop of baddie? Is that the first time I said baddie?
Like some of it tucks back into Torkoal's body.
Ooh, Torkoal's a baddie.
That's true.
Torkoal's a baddie.
In to target all the Pokemon. The humans are going to get a little hot, too, but you're not going to take damage from this. Everyone needs to make a dexterity save. You have a D4 from Aromatic Mist.
Add the D4.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I got another nat 20. What is the 12. What save is this again?
Dex.
Patricia has a dirty 22.
Okay.
Quacko has a 13.
Anyone got a 12 or higher, you're going to take 9 damage. 9 fire damage.
For a pass save? I'm crazy. I don't like listening to this.
So we can
like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, what was I thinking? I mean, these mons are still level 1, right? So they have like 15 HP or something, right?
Are you gonna charge through this jungle? Or
dude, that's crazy. To take 9 on a
I'm gonna kill these fools.
Yeah, dude, this really could have ended with 4 tree burning down.
This
could have
been a TPK.
Yeah. Sam looks at you. My insolence.
Imagine the campaign ended here.
Yeah, what the hell?
Sorry, you guys.
You're gonna have to get back.
Hopefully,
there.
I gave this boss like down 10 HP or something.
Hey guys, remember that time that Rich felt guilty about PvP and then he actually like did this fucking encounter?
I know what's going on. Down on its belly.
Man, it all kind of. It's a device. All's coming together.
Yeah. I was trying shit out. That's all right.
Yeah, no, that's totally reasonable.
Absolutely.
I didn't at the time too. I didn't think it was on the things that were happening were unreasonable. Like none of us knew any better.
Yeah.
Like you're very much taking the responsibility of it, but I was be like, that seems aggressive. Like, you're just like
yeah. I'll just go for
sounds good. Okay. Yeah. 9 damage. Yikes. All right, moving on.
Yeah. Thank you guys for being so patient with that.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Charisma. That's pretty low.
Charisma is -1.
Oh no. Yeah.
So 7, I guess.
Yep. We'll see.
For what's worth, Swablu generally does have good charisma, but I think the nature that was rolled was minus charisma.
Patricia, you beautiful songstress.
I think this is our first time that we've encountered sleep, so let me just explain. For the next next three rounds of combat, Torkoal is going to be asleep. Can't do anything. If you attack it with a saving throw, it's at disadvantage. When it is Torkoal's turn, there's a chance that he will break out of sleep. All right, Cindy, you got a sleeping... behemoth in front of you. It's still spewing smoke.
I guess we didn't implement the on damage chance to wake up also.
We're going to bubble again.
Okay. Which mechanically might be for the best that we didn't, but also flavor-wise it makes sense that if you take damage you have a chance to wake up.
Okay, well my first roll was an 18 and I have a +2, so a dirty 20.
You connect.
We'll see. I got an 18 again. So.
Okay. Roll me the damage.
I got a 1.
You got a 1?
Oh, it goes without saying, but I'm still going to say... these combats are so much more interesting to track when you're not in them because you can actually follow everything where like when you're in them or you're running the enemies, you're like thinking ahead always, you know? And now that we're just listening, I'm like, oh, like this is like telling a story.
Wait, does it try to make an attempt to wake up with every hit?
Yes, every time it takes...
Okay, so we did do that. Okay.
And at the end of each of its turns.
I feel like that's way... like that's actually more balanced than the sleep mechanic in Pokemon.
It also just makes more sense, yeah.
Oh, crazy.
It's a combination of Pokemon.
I actually had the same thought. Yeah, I'm like, exactly. Man, if only they did this in the actual game, huh?
Yeah. It would still be a powerful effect, but it'd just be a lot more balanced.
Right.
Tackle this time. 11.
Unfortunately, it's just so hazy and so hot. Is this cabbage or is this?
This is cabbage. Yes.
Yeah. Cabbage rolls forward or rolls, floats forward, goes for the tackle.
Cabbage rolling on the ground for a tackle.
Too smoky.
Hell yeah.
That poison damage is really scary for Cabbage, unfortunately.
Can we just check around, see if maybe our friend Gimli is on his way back yet?
Just like you want to look around the corner?
Yeah.
You can roll for that.
11.
You see Gimli-shaped holes in the jungle. Like he just charged.
Gimli-shaped holes in the jungle.
That's pretty sick.
Or Sam.
Okay, but it is really good. They're probably safe. Yeah. I'm going to relay this fact to our friends.
Okay. We're going down to Torkoal's turn. He's going to try and wake up. And he gets a crit. He's awake.
Oh my god.
But he spends his
This is my first.
Standing up, and he looks at you and he goes,
this might come up again in the future, but this is my first listen back where I'm like, this is fucked up.
He is stepping forward another 5 feet.
The sleep did nothing. Like, literally nothing. That's. Feet wow.
Fortree City. I did one damage.
You
That's
arrive
it.
At the Pokemon Center. What do you say?
She's treatment now, but I have to rush back. There's something dangerous happening in the woods.
Okay, so you're just going to drop her off there and see what happens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah. Sam is totally on board with this. Sam is like, thank you. I'll be fine. The nurse rushes forward. This is not like a human center, but like they have bandages, so it'll be fine. They can put her in a sling, whatever she needs, and you're going to run on back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've carved out a path for yourself, so you don't really like need to make any rolls to get through the foliage. However, you can roll a d20 and see if you can dash, since you are unburdened. So just roll a athletics.
Oh, 25.
Yeah. Okay, so you clear the ground that you did carrying Sam twice as fast. Next round, you will be in combat.
Nice.
Schmidt, what are you doing?
He's within 30 feet, right? You said like 25 of me?
Mm-hmm. Well, 20 now, because he just walked forward.
I'm going to have Quacko take up a defensive position, and by that I mean just hold his sword at him. Or at the Torkoal.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have Patricia sing again.
Okay. That 7 DC, will it work twice in a row?
Will it work? Come on, Patricia, you beautiful songstress.
Oh, he got a 1. What?
Yes. Yes!
That's insane.
Let's go, Patricia!
That's so dumb. Okay. Yeah.
We're broken.
In hindsight, no. I think the players need all the help they can get here.
What does the song sound like?
I can't believe I didn't murder all of you.
It's the most beautiful melody you've ever heard in your life. Actually, no. Patricia's singing Motley Crue.
Let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. Patricia sings.
Patricia's song.
Patricia sings the Swablu version of Motley Crue, and Torkoal falls asleep again. The smoke and heat seems to quiet down a little bit, but still blazing hot. Nicely done. Sandy, what are you doing?
Let's go for another bubble. Oh, no.
What?
We got 6.
Yeah, it's so hot. It's crazy. Even when Torkoal's sleeping, Cookie shoots out some bubbles very confidently this time, but they just evaporate before they make contact.
For the record, all of these attacks should have advantage. I don't think I was doing that.
Panting.
I did the first time.
Yeah, but with being asleep and stuff. Guys, I think I said just really moves with saves, but no, any move should have advantage. I am out.
Gotta get it off. It's making it big.
You gotta flip it like a turtle.
Flip it like a turtle! So I can't see it. I guess I could roll a perception to see if I could see it. But like to see what's protruding. Because I was like, let's go for the bowl. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm aiming it for.
Mm-hmm.
To try to pull it off. So I guess I'll have to try to go for a perception to see if we can see underneath the Torkoal.
Roll it.
5.
The way the Torkoal is sleeping, it's like its legs, like it was standing, and then it just, its legs splayed out. So it's just on its belly. You can't see anything down there.
Okay.
Elodie.
Okay. All right. How the frick are we going to flip this thing over?
Everybody lift.
It's super hot, though.
I got Baker arms. I'm ready to go.
Baker arms.
That's the new ability introduced in 5e.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Obviously.
Baker arms.
See, I don't know. There's things like I'm like, I don't know if I should try if this is like a stretch, but I was thinking of like trying to use like sweet scent or something to like lull it in its sleep.
Is that like a stretch? I'm going to send you something.
Okay.
It's a treat.
What did I send?
It's a result of your time at the Rite of Learning.
I guess we'll find out.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this is great. All right. Oh, we're definitely using this. Okay, so this is a bonus action.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna do some scentspiration.
Great.
Yeah.
Yo, before it was called Elodie's Party Time.
Give this to...
I think we wanted to, like, divine it away from just being smell, but either way, it's still good. I don't know.
Okay.
I love inspiration. It's so good.
A d6 of inspiration that you can use within the next 10 minutes. You can add a d6 to any of your rolls.
After the roll, right?
It could be after the roll, but it has to be before it's declared. So you could say the number, then really quickly say, I want inspiration.
And with the...
New 5e doesn't do that, and I think new 5e is better for it.
Is the minute up on the aromatic mist? I doubt it, right?
No, it's not.
With new 5e, you like get your inspiration charge.
I guess we'll just go.
And then when you fail a save, you can choose to use your inspiration, which is just so much cleaner and better.
Is this like an attack,
or
is this like you're trying to move it?
Yeah, trying to like move its leg out of the way.
Okay.
I guess.
You don't have to roll a tackle. You can roll me based on how you want to describe it, a strength or a dexterity.
Probably more of a dexterity.
Okay.
Okay, that was a 10.
Unfortunately, the Torkoal leg is just too big, too heavy, too hot to be reckoned with at this moment. And Torkoal's going to see if it wakes up. And it does. Torkoal stands up, lets out a groan, has had enough with these shenanigans, and steps 5 feet closer, 55 feet until Fort Tree City.
So the thing on its belly needs to be destroyed, or it's like a button?
There's something.
If I investigate this, would that be my action for the turn?
Nope.
That's a dirty 22.
So you can see in the center of Torkoal's belly, there is some sort of like black tube sticking out. It's coming at like a diagonal angle. It seems like it might have like gotten squished that way when it slept on its belly. And it seems to have some sort of insignia or marking on it.
Okay. Have I weaned that this is like a switch or something, or?
Not quite. You can tell that part of it is sticking out, and then part of it is inside of Torkoal's belly.
What if I had Quacko, like, try to slide under there and then hit the thing out of its belly with his sword?
That sounds epic. You should try it.
Okay. Oh. Quacko, you're a monster. That's also a dirty 22.
Dirty 22. What's the natural roll?
19.
You know with your leak, that means it's a crit, right?
Oh, that is a crit. Yo,
you want to describe this epic maneuver to remove this device from Torkoal's belly?
Quacko does like a Mega Man slide. You know, like he gets like a running start and then he like slides on his feet down there and he has like the leak in hand and then he just like smacks the belly of the Torkoal and then whatever thing just pops out.
All right, yeah, you all witness something super cool that you would expect to see from like the leader of a team. It is awesome. You swear that you still hear bits of the song that Patricia was singing just earlier as like a little anthem for Quacko.
I imagine Patricia's like still humming it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Farfetch slides out on from the other side of the Torkoal, this black device is removed from its belly. Its eyes kind of roll into the back of its head and it collapses onto its size. As it does that, it seems like a bunch of energy is just streaming out into the air from Torkoal's body.
Okay, I suppose with the MacGuffin to auto-end the combat, maybe it was fine to have it that hard, but that was, I don't know. I don't know.
The heat in the surrounding
area. I said, Rich, we had no complaints. Everything was fine.
I'm judging myself here. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
A source of heat. As the sun has set even more during this battle, about another hour later, it's actually starting to feel kind of chilly, and you can see clouds rolling in from the north.
Can we take it to the Pokemon Center to make it feel better?
Can I pick it up and bring it to the Poke Center?
You can do whatever you want. Let me know what you want to do.
You do whatever you want.
I'm going to scoop it.
You do whatever you want.
Bring it back.
It's true.
Yeah, it's still very warm.
Roll to
keep in mind, though, we could probably bring it to the Weather Institute and make bank.
Right, but he looks like nice and
innocent. Well, right now, we're getting it to the Pokemon Center.
I'm just saying. And... Yeah, of course.
Is that device still on the ground, or did it...
It's on the ground. It's there.
We should bring that.
Y'all almost didn't pick it up. Crazy.
That's nat one.
Oh no.
You have no idea.
It's like feeling himself of like Quacko's like really cool and he's like, yes, Schmidt Pack, best team.
Great.
And he's just like feeling himself.
That's great.
I rolled the strength to pick up the Torkoal to carry it, and I got 24. So
you're fine. You can honestly carry it on your shoulder.
Yeah.
With the dad hat holding the Torkoal like a boss.
Right. That's right.
Cindy's just like, I vote we name our team the Quacko Pack.
Quacko Paco.
The Quacko Paco. Quacko Paco.
Instead of the Schmidt Pack, because Quacko.
That's crazy.
There it is.
The birth of the Quacko Paco.
Yeah. I forgot that's what it was.
Carrying the Torkoal.
I didn't know which battle, but I knew it was one of them where, like, Quacko was amazing. It was like, well, why are we the Schmidt Pack? We should be the Quacko Pack. And then Quacko Paco.
Yeah, Quacko ended, like, an impossible combat, which is pretty good.
She's got a little brace on her leg. She's wearing, like, a boot. And she's been given a crutch. And she walks and she says, "You're okay, you're okay. How did it go?"
"Well, we stopped him." Points a thing over my shoulder. "Hey, this guy needs a good fixer up. Let me know when he wakes up."
I think we all need a little fixer up.
Fixer, yeah.
Patricia is bloodied.
All right.
Yeah.
Patricia was such a trooper that game.
Nurse Joy says, "Oh, great. I will take your Pokemon." And she collects all your Pokemon. Farfetch'd hands you the device because it shouldn't be healed. It shouldn't take that in with it. Would you like to roll again on it? Or offer it to someone else to look at and be like, "Can you tell what this thing is?" Yeah.
I'll take a look at it.
Oh, I just rolled a 16. So
let's get Elodie's roll too, just because.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It's okay. No, I rolled in that one.
Oh, okay.
Quiz and I are connected tonight, I guess.
Do you want to describe your nat one, like, before Schmidt takes a look at it? Like, what?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna look at it and be like, "Wow, that's a thing for sure."
That's definitely it.
For sure.
Look at that thing.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Check that thing out.
That's wow.
That's awesome.
Dirty 20 total.
Yeah.
By the way,
you take a look at this thing. It is. It's an interesting device. There's a big, thick, like, needle on one side. It's clearly a syringe. And then the part where there would be a vial or something is, like, an obsidian black container. There are three letters in yellow text printed on the side. They are N-R-G. Sam looks at the group.
Yo.
She says, "It's been a big day. We should probably get some rest. And unless there's anything you want to say or check, that's where we'll call the session."
Wow.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
So much plot in that one.
If you're enjoying the series, be sure.
Holy moly.
That was a pretty heavy episode.
Yeah.
I realized the early episodes are really plot heavy.
Yeah, they're dense.
Like, now we spend 2 hours fucking around.
Yeah.
Early on, we were getting shit done.
Thought about it. But it, like, while playing it feels like that was, like, several episodes, like, at once. So it's like, wow, we just, like, lore dumped like crazy.
Yeah,
it flies by when you're playing it, for sure.
I'm curious
how... Is that why we spent 20 episodes at sea?
Or at Dewford? Yeah.
It's like, these ones are so dense, and then, like...
Wow. Is there a blooper on this one?
What kind of battle skills would you like this... Elodie? No, Elodie.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of battle skills? Yeah, no, I mean, maybe. He's like, "Would you like to train?" And he gestures over to, like, a deadlift bench. Please.
Classic.
Hell yeah. Wow. That was really enlightening, honestly. Like, of course, the first two episodes were good, too. But this one was, like, you guys probably played for, like, 4 hours. Which I guess for other D&D tables is pretty normal. But for us, that's pretty long. And there was a lot of shit in there. That's crazy. A lot of exposition. Maybe that's why it's the most listened to, is because people know that a bunch of stuff was revealed and they go back and check it out.
Yeah, they go back and check everything. Yeah, that's very possible.
It could be. Anywho, thank you for listening, and hopefully, I don't know what schedule we're going to release these at. I have no clue, but we will see you for the next one. Goodbye.